CliffCentral.com.
What is living in lockdown like? As the world tries to make sense of the coronavirus and South Africa's knee-deep in a government-initiated lockdown, we'll be hearing from different voices what they're up to and how they're handling living in the lockdown. Our first guest is Ndaba Mandela. He's an author, mentor, spokesperson, entrepreneur, political consultant, and the grandson of the late Nelson Mandela, our former president. We thought we'd catch up with him and find out what life under lockdown is like for Ndaba Mandela. Ndaba, nice to speak to you, man. Are you okay? I heard you had coronavirus.
Yeah, I'm good, man. No symptoms as yet. I'm on day 11 and everything so far going well.
So you got back from where? From the States, and then you had yourself tested?
Yes, from New York.
Jesus. I mean, when did you get the results?
I only got the results 6 days later because apparently, you know, the lab was inundated. I got my results on a Saturday.
Were you with people, and did you think you had this virus when you got back? Did you take special precautions, or did you only realize once you got the info, oh wow, I could actually be infecting people?
Well, I got back Sunday night, and then obviously I saw the address by the president urging people from overseas to go and get tested.
Yeah.
And so the Monday evening, that's when I went to get tested in quarantine just in case I have it. So I was in quarantine. And then on Saturday when I got it, I was with two friends chilling at home. And it was a bit of a shell shocker.
Jeez, I'm sure that must be terrifying because, you, it's not that you think you're going to die from this disease. We know enough to know that, you know, very few people die, especially younger people. But you're worried about who you might have passed it on to.
Exactly. You know, the funny thing is that, so I was actually staying with a friend Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And we even shared like cigarettes and he never got it. He's tested negative twice now.
Oh, wow. So you even shared a cigarette and you didn't pass it on to him?
Nothing. Zero.
But dude, you did say in social media, you said that you went and started smoking cigarettes, which was the worst thing to do. You said you actually need to protect your chest. And you were just so stressed at the time that this was the first thing you did is go and grab a cigarette. Man.
Yeah, that was like right there, you know, on the table. I was like, Jesus. I mean, my pump was, you know, my heart was pumping and I was like, Jesus, what's going to happen? Like, and then, you know, later I was like, okay, calm down, relax. You know, you could beat this. You could deal with this.
Sure.
But at first I was really just shocked, you know.
So Ndaba, now where are you in quarantine and in lockdown?
I'm at home. I'm all by myself. So I moved to my father's house to be alone and left everybody else in the main house.
Okay.
And
the most difficult part must be because you can't see your kids, that you must be missing them hugely.
Yeah, to be honest, that has been the most difficult. And my son is 9 years old and it's also kind of hit him. And I was scared, you know, that his father's got corona and, you know. But luckily, thank God for video chats. I've been able to chat to him on a daily basis and reassure him. Some digital books that, you know, explain the coronavirus.
Sure.
So he's a little bit better. My 6-year-old baby, she's fine. She's happy, you know. Everything, nothing can faze her.
But this lockdown is a serious thing. I mean, we're all kind of stuck wherever we ended up last night at midnight. And some people, if they're on their own, like you said, you're on your own now. Are you going to be able to pop out to the shops and do basic things? Have you supplied yourself with all the things you might need? I mean, like, do you have a stockpile of toilet paper? Apparently, that's very important.
I haven't really gone and stockpiled. I think that's a bit excessive, to be honest with you. I mean, the grocery stores are going to be open. It's not like you can't get food, you know. So. And I have a gentleman that stays outside in a cottage who went and got me some stuff. So I'm all right. And if I run out, I mean, it's not like we can't go to the shops. But obviously I'm not going to go until I'm negative.
Yeah.
So I've decided that after 14 days, I'm going to go and get tested again. And hopefully this time it's negative because I'm on the 11th day and I don't have a single symptom. Thank God, knock on wood.
Sure. Tell me quickly, you've been doing quite a lot, Africa Rising, and I want to talk about that and why you were in the States. So we can catch up, because the last time I spoke to you, I think we spoke about your book, Going to the Mountains.
Yes,
that's
right.
And what's been happening in your life since then?
Well, I mean, the book has always been there in the back of my mind. And so, you know, the last time I was in New York, for example, I had one of my book events at the Soho House. And mm-hmm. So we're always trying to collaborate with different people. So now we've just, we're doing a partnership with MTV, Staying Alive organization, which is MTV's foundation. And we had Lucy, who is the, she's like the number two at the organization. She was basically doing the Q&A with me mm-hmm. at the Soho House for their members, and obviously some special guests. But we've actually started a new organization in America to mirror Africa Rising Foundation, because we realized that, that decision-making powers are in America. And of course, that's where also the corporate heads are as well. Sure. You know, it's also the center for media, center for publishing. I mean, I did my deal there in New York, with a company called Hachette, which is one of the big five publishers in the world.
Yep.
New York is really the epicenter. So we've started a new organization called the Mandela Institute for Humanity. Mm-hmm. And the first pillar, of course, is youth empowerment and leadership activation in young people. And so we've created a leadership program that we call the 100 Mandelas. And the basic premise behind that is that, you know, wouldn't the world be a better place if we had more Mandelas? So how about we work with young people to try and inculcate and inspire the spirit of Nelson Mandela, so they can understand the values and the principles of the leadership style of Nelson Mandela. And then, try to basically take them on the course where they come to South Africa, they walk along in Nelson Mandela's footsteps, but also learning hard skills of how to run, hard and hot soft skills of how to, become entrepreneurs, so mm-hmm. that when they return to their communities, they can, lead with the spirit of Nelson Mandela, whether it's in their community or in their business.
That's terrific.
And then number two, our second pillar, of course, will be fighting HIV/AIDS. I mean, South Africa is ground zero for the epidemic. Mm-hmm. 20% of the world's HIV/AIDS victims are in South Africa. We have over 7 million people living with HIV/AIDS. And most of them don't even know that they have HIV/AIDS because they're afraid of getting tested. So the stigma is still very much out there. And the angle that we are taking is that we have now these home testing kits, which people can obviously use in the comfort and the security of their own home. There will be obviously a step-by-step guide within the kits to tell them, if you test positive, here's a number for a counselor, here's a place where you can call, they'll tell you where the nearest dispensary is, where you can get your medicine. Because now, once you are on your medicine, you actually cannot transmit the disease anymore.
Mm.
And so once you stop transmission of the disease, you've effectively ended the HIV/AIDS epidemic.
Right.
And so in order for us to do that, we need people, everybody who's anybody, to know their HIV status.
Correct. Well, this is powerful stuff. I'm very pleased that the foundation is continuing this work. And I'm always struck by the fact that, you and your brother, and I've known the two of you for a while now, you take very seriously this legacy. And it's a burden in some ways, because most people go through their lives and they don't have to be responsible for an incredible legacy that was built by their grandparents. They just have to kind of make their own way. But you guys seem to grab it with both hands, and you're making a huge difference. So thank you for that. How's the rest of the family, by the way?
The rest of the family are in good spirits. We have a family group on WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. So everybody is keeping up to date. And of course, we share videos and memes and, the usual stuff that circles around social media, really. So it's really also been a great way to actually catch up with family, to get close with family, to connect with family. I think, there's so many advantages to this lockdown, ladies and gentlemen. It's not something that's a death sentence. We don't have to freak out. I know a lot of people are going to get stressed and have a lot of anxiety. But, there's things you can do. You can start gardening. You can, So one thing I'm trying to do is looking at YouTube videos and, trying to get my cooking skills up.
Yeah.
and of course, I'm a huge advocate for cannabis. And so I'm trying
Good
to
man.
see how my green thumb is, you know, in the garden.
Well, I mean, this is, if there ever was a time to smoke some weed, it's now, right? You calm people down.
Yes.
You've got the whole day to kind of plan where you want to just chill. So it's a good time for that. But Ndaba, one other thing I needed to ask you is, because this coronavirus is going to have a serious effect on the world economy, and it's going to change a lot of people's lives forever, how do you see the world afterwards? Because it's going to be a world we have to rebuild in some ways.
That's true. You know, I think the world can go one of two ways. I think one way is that we go back to, you know, scrambling and running around in this rat race and, oh my God, I've missed 3 months of revenue. I need to catch up somehow and become frantic again and really forget, you know, the essence of who we are. Or number two, we can, you know, because 21 days is 21 days, we can pick up a new habit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can, you know, try to take this opportunity to introspectively look at ourselves and how we are impacting the world and our business and our relationships. And also, you know, we can get closer not only to our family, but to our neighbors. You know, go around in your neighborhood and find out about the old people if they need help. Do they have access to a phone? You know, I think we can move away from this and just be more conscious of Mother Nature and be more conscious of climate change and how things we do impact the world. You know, I think this is one moment in which we can, you know, say that Mother Nature, the good thing about this is actually taking a break. And we need to refill Mother Nature. We need to re-nourish Mother Nature and replenish her, you know. So I think it can go one of those both ways.
Well, thank you very much, man. It's always good to speak to you. Keep inspiring people and all the good work that Africa Rising Foundation is doing. We should hear more about that. I know that if you've got news, you'll tell us. In the meantime, look after yourself, be safe, and be healthy.
Thank you very much, Gareth.
Thank you, Ndaba. Nice to speak to you.
Have a good day, brother. CliffCentral.com.